Once again, we gather on a second September on Friday, and by God's grace, we are starting 11th year of this Bible study. I don't know how many of you realize that, but I was just looking at when we started the book of Judges, and it is almost to the date. Last year, we started the book of Judges on September 20th. And today is the September 19th. And once again, as we have found in the last 10 years, whenever we start a new book, it happens to be always in a month of September, And once again, we are here in September, starting another year. I do really want to thank God for His faithfulness, His goodness, how He has sustained us. Because as many of you know, and some of you know me for a very, very long time, how ill-equipped I am to do what we do here on a Friday night, right? I do not have an ability, nor do I have any kind of a background which allows me to do this. So it is by the God's grace that we have been doing this for 10 years. And of course, I have to thank you all for your faithfulness for all these years. That you have shown up on Friday night to study the Word, and together God has taught us. It's the Holy Spirit who's our teacher, and so as you know, I never take my responsibility lightly when we start a new book. And as I was going back and forth about which book to start, as I said on a Sunday night when we were starting a book, it was my thought that we were going to go into the book of Timothy, which we are doing on Sunday, as one brother suggested that maybe we stick to Old Testament here on a Friday night. We are going to continue in the Old Testament, and a book. I will be very honest with you that I am not very comfortable. I'm nervous. I don't know. And I guess nervous is not the right word, but there is certainly a certain uncertainty where we are taking on the book of Leviticus. That is not a very, very easy book. It's not a book that is taught frequently. That's not a book that we read frequently. But this is where God led me, that we need to be in the book of Leviticus. And so that's where we are going to be. Let's see if I can get you interested today in the book of Leviticus, so you would actually come back the next time when we have a Bible study in a couple of weeks. So when we look at the Bible, and if we were to do a survey, perhaps Leviticus is considered one of the least read or least liked book in the Bible. It's a book that people do not go to.
Yeah, muted.
Oh, I'm muted. So all of these things I said is completely. Sorry, guys, you missed a wonderful opening, but we'll pick it up. You didn't miss much. Don't worry about it. So we are in the book of Leviticus, and to start the Bible off, maybe because this is where the Bible study needs to start off. If you go to, if you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16.
Sunday.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. So the word over there, it says, in the verse that we are very familiar with here, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So this is a verse that most of us are very familiar with. And when we talk about all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable, when we look at that, all of us understand that scripture, and especially the promises that we so often go to, when we go to the book of Psalms, when we go into the Gospel of John, and we read that wonderful account that we have in John of the deity of Christ and all the wonderful promises that we have in Christ, that the Comforter will come and we will have a Holy Spirit who will lead us into all truth. When we read Psalm, and we find so much encouragement from Psalms. And when we go through the Gospels and we read the account of Jesus' ministry on the earth, when we read those scriptures, we understand that all scripture is by inspiration of God and is profitable. But now, when we come to the book of Leviticus, do we look at it from that perspective? Right? Because Leviticus is a book where the Bible reading plans die. Right? Everybody, every January, people are very gung-ho, very excited about, okay, now I'm going to get close to God. I'm going to read the Bible. And a month goes by, you are in the book of Genesis. Then you are, you read the Exodus and it's interesting. And then suddenly you come to Leviticus and you are reading and you are falling asleep. And then he says, oh, I'm going to give it up until the next year. So this is where the Bible reading plans go to die. Right? That's what we have. But as I read to you from 2 Timothy, it says all scripture is given by inspiration. And since Leviticus is part of the scripture, it is given by an inspiration. And then it says it's profitable for doctrine. So that means that this was not for a specific time or a specific set of people. It is for all of us, because Genesis to Revelation is for all of us. But we are hesitant to look into the book of Leviticus and see what God wants to speak to us through his word, right? So when you look at Leviticus, and do not get me wrong, it is not an easy book to read. You know, when you read through the book and you read about all these sacrifices, right? You read about all the dietary laws, okay? It talks to us about a woman's menstrual cycle. It talks to us about cleanliness, which animal is clean. It talks to us about, as I said, diet, what you are going to eat. And it goes on and about all of these things, right? So I want to present this question to you. Why? Right? Why would God take this amount of time, 27 chapters, to tell us about all these things? Why would he do that? There has to be a reason behind it, right? And that's why I started off where we started off, that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, right? Because why do I need to know about the hooves on the animal? Why do I need to know about that, right? But as we will get into this book, you will see there is a purpose behind this whole book, right? And as I hope all of you read the title of the Bible study, or what I titled the Bible study today, it says from rituals to relationship. Right, we are going to look at Jesus in the book of Leviticus. We are going to find Jesus in the book of Leviticus. So as I started out by telling you that how faithful God has been for 10 years, it's been 10 years since we've been doing this Bible study. And the one thing that I hope that has come across in this Bible study is that we teach the Word of God. Right. I'll take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, where Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. And I hope that in this Bible study on a Friday night, we have preached Christ crucified. And as long as, I don't know how long this Bible study is going to go on, but as long as I'm going to be the one leading this Bible study on Friday night, I mean, God can choose to replace me and put somebody else here on a Friday night. I am going to try my best to preach the Christ crucified. We are going to get into the Word. We are going to go deep into the Word, right? I don't say this with pride, so I hope you do not take it as that. But I like to believe that on this Friday night we serve meat, right? And that it's not for everybody, right? Because there are some people who like milk, right? Or they need milk because of where they are in their walk with God. But I try to bring meat on Friday, right? And that's so keep me in prayer, because this is not an easy book to go through, right? And I don't know if you guys want to stay up for the whole Bible study today, but I hope I at least get you interested to come back again. Okay. So when we look at Book of Leviticus, the Book of Leviticus is quoted more than 100 times in the New Testament. So if we think that this is not a relevant book for us in the New Testament, it's quoted 100 times, right? One of the most famous verse from the Book of Leviticus is, "Be holy as I am holy," which we will see in Leviticus 17. So what is this book about, right? This book is about one thing and one thing only. It is about the holiness, how we are to be holy. Okay, so when we look at Book of Genesis, and it's interesting, you know, this is something that we need to pay attention to. I plan to in the New Testament specifically, how the books are set up, the order of the book is very important, right? There is a reason why the Book of Jude comes before the Book of Revelation, why the letters are set the way it is. Why is Romans right after the Book of Acts? Why are those letters in the order that they are in? There is an importance behind it, and someday we will study. But when we come to these three books, the first three books of the Scripture, in Genesis, we have an introduction of the sin. Right, the sin comes sin. We have the creation, is the book of origin, we know when they disobeyed God, they ate, the ruin of the man came. The sin entered the world. Then the book of Exodus is about redemption. And I know some of you were part of our Exodus Bible study where we did. It's called the book of redemption, how we are redeemed, right? The picture of God freeing us from the bondage of sin into and bringing us into the promised land. So Exodus is a book of redemption. And when we come to book of Leviticus, and this is the order of a new creation, this is how the plan works out when we accept Jesus as a Lord and Savior. We are in sin, as in book of Genesis. We are redeemed in the book of Exodus. And then Leviticus, when we come, it is an account of sanctification. How we are sanctified. How we are made holy. So you see, the order is Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. Now, when we look at our Christian life, when we accept Christ, and the very first thing we do, we are very excited, right? The first time when we realize that, oh, I gave my life to Christ, I accepted Him as a Lord and Savior, and all of us want to be, the best Christian that we can be. But what do we want to do? Hey, how am I going to participate in the church? I want to be a leader in church. I want to serve somehow. I want to preach. Perhaps I want to lead a Bible study, right? Definitely, I want to be used for God. How can I be used for God, right? And there's nothing wrong with it. But if you look at the Bible, and if you read your Bible carefully, and I'm going to take you to some verses, what the Scripture tells us to do, and what our purpose is when we come to Christ, is to be holy. We are to be the image, right? Romans chapter 12, it says, "I beseech you therefore, brother, be a living sacrifice," right? Acceptable, not being conformed to the world, but being transformed by the word. It is about your personal life, right? So one of the first things that I'm going to tell you in this book of Leviticus, if you are walking with Christ, and if you are not seeing any growth in your life, in your spiritual walk, in your obedience, then something is wrong. Okay, because you cannot be living like the world and say that I belong to Christ. Right. And that is the book of Leviticus. It is about God sanctifying. The word sanctified means to set apart. Right? Set apart. That's what it is about. So you are set apart. So you cannot be enjoying or, you know, indulging in the same things the world is indulging in. So the whole purpose here is about holiness, okay? What we have right now, and this is a problem with the Christianity today. We want Jesus to solve all of our problems, right? Depending on the age you are, right? If you are in a college, hey, I need a car. Jesus, can you give me a car? If you are of a certain age, can you give me a spouse? If you are of a certain age, can you give me a house? Can you give me a spouse and a house? Can you make me healthy? Right? These are the things that we are looking from Jesus. And in turn, when we have those things, we say, oh, look at the blessing of God. That's what we say, right? That's what we say. Oh, look at the blessing. And yes, God does provide, and those are blessings of God, that God sustains us, provides for us whatever we need, right? But Bible talks to us about being holy, right? God said to the people, be holy, for I am holy. For I am holy. This is the God that we serve, okay? So look at what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says. And I'm only going to give you three or four. There are over 100 Bible verses, New Testament alone, which talks to us about how we are to be conformed to be like Christ and be holy. Okay, there are over 100. You guys can do a search if you like. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24 says this, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God. Right? This is when we are born again. In true righteousness and in what? Holiness. Right? You put on a new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 says this, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Right? In the image of who? Who created us? God. Right? God. When we open up book of Genesis, and you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, God said, let us make them in our image. Our image, right? But that image was destroyed in Genesis chapter 3. That image was destroyed. That relationship was broken, right? And then there were so many ramifications. But with the Christ and his sacrifice, we are to be conformed to his image again. Now we have a way of being like Christ. And that is holiness, okay? This is what Charles Spurgeon said, and it's a wonderful quote. He says, if I had my choice of all the blessings, think about that. If I had my choice of all the blessings I can conceive of, I would choose a perfect conformity to the Lord Jesus, or in one word, holiness. He said, if I had all the blessings available to me, my strongest desire would be that I would be holy. And that's the desire we should have. That should be our goal as a Christian life. It is not to become a lay leader of a church. It's not to become a pastor of a church. It's not about leading a ministry that spans the whole world. Those are great things. Those are great things, right? But how are you doing with holiness? How are you being sanctified? Okay, how are you being sanctified? When you look at the word holy, okay, the word holy comes from an old English word called holik, okay, and which talks about our physical health, being healthy, being whole, healthy physically, okay? Then when you look at from the biblical term point of view, the word sanctification comes from a Latin word, which is sanctus, which means you are consecrated, okay, that you are set apart, you are blessed. Okay, that's what that word means, to sanctify. Okay, and that is the process that the book of Romans talks to us about. That is what the Leviticus teaches us. Okay, so when we look at this Bible verses, what we have is how we are to be holy. Now, the book of Leviticus explains five basic truths. This is what we are going to look at, right? All of you know me by now. We have started enough books to know that we are not going to read any verses today. I'm just introducing you to the book, so just to give you an idea what's going on here, right? The book of Leviticus explains five basic things to us as it relates to the life of holiness, and this is important especially in the time that we are living. This is very important, okay? So as it pertains to the holiness, we have a holy God, we have a holy priesthood, okay? We have holy people, we have holy land, right? That's what all the fight is about right now, is holy land, and then finally a holy Savior. This is what the book of Leviticus is going to teach us, okay? This is what the book of Leviticus is going to show us. And the other thing that the book of Leviticus shows us is how to approach God. How to approach God, okay? How to worship. And in our day and age, what we have done is we have made worship, singing a couple of songs in the church is worship. Or in our private time, you know, we listen to some music, we praise and worship, we sing along, and we have made worship just that, singing songs, playing instrument, or whatever the case might be. But the worship is much more than that, right? You being holy, you walking in that holiness is part of the worship. And that's something that we are going to learn as we go through the book of Leviticus. So, where did the book of Leviticus take place? Where did it take place? So the book of Leviticus takes place on Mount Sinai. That is where it starts. That is where it ends. Okay. If you look at the timeline, if you look at book of Exodus, the chapter 16 to 40 talks to Moses about the tabernacle, how to build the tabernacle, how to put it all together. Right. That's what the book of Exodus is. Before even we go to the tabernacle, it was in Exodus chapter 20 that God came down on the mountain and gave them the law, right? God spoke to Moses, gave them the law. Chapter 16 to 40 talks to us about all the details, right? Then you look at the Numbers, the book of Numbers, and how the book of Numbers starts, which starts with the census, and it gives us an exact timeline, which I'm not going to go into. If you put all of that together, what we have is what we read in the book of Leviticus. It takes it's about a month time that this was all put together. It's about a month time, okay? And it's a very important thing that we see the very first word where it says Lord called to Moses, right? That word called I'm going to speak to you about that in a minute, right? It says the Hebrew word is Vayikra, okay? Vayikra, and that's what opens up the book of Leviticus. In Hebrew, and it is interesting what that word means, right? It's called, it's God calling, that God is moving in the tabernacle, right? In Mount Sinai, he met them through thunder and lightning, right? We know how scary that was, because the Hebrew said, hey, Moses, you go and talk to God. We don't even want to do anything to do with this. But now, God is calling out from the tabernacle. That's why it says, he calls out. That word is very, very important. God moves into the tabernacle and speaks from there rather than from Mount Sinai. He calls the people to him and tells them how to come to God, how to meet him, right? It is very interesting for us sitting here because that's exactly what the church means. The Greek word for church is ecclesia, right? Ecclesia. And that literally means those who are called out. Those who are called out. And we are called out to be what? Be set apart from the world. Set apart from the world. And that's why, in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice and they will know me. Right? So that's what we are called out. I kind of spoke to you already about why, the purpose. Why is all of these things written in? Why? How does that relate to me? How does it help me in my walk with Christ today? And that's something we are going to learn. How all of these things, as I give you an outline a little bit later on, how is this going to help me in my walk with Christ today? Okay? And that's something important for us to know. The message is twofold in the book of Leviticus. Okay? Leviticus teaches the way to God is by sacrifice, right? You cannot have an atonement. You cannot go in the presence of God without sacrifice. And as we will study the book of Leviticus, sprinkling of the blood, washing, right? We see the washing of the priests and how they were to approach God, how they were to go, especially on the Day of the Atonement when they went into the Holy of Holies, how the blood had to be sprinkled. Now we have an access to the throne of grace, right? Through what? Through the blood of Christ. Through the blood of Christ, right? So that's the number one thing that we need to remember, that Leviticus teaches us the way to God is by sacrifice. And that's why the word atonement occurs 45 times in the book of Leviticus. By the way, the word holiness or holy occurs about 91 times in the book of Leviticus. As I said, this is a book about holiness. The word cleansing or a related word to cleansing occurs 71 times in the book of Leviticus. And the word uncleanness or word related to uncleanness occurs 128 times in the book of Leviticus. This is not just something that is written. Our life matters. What you watch, where you walk, what you wear, what you are listening to, all of that matters. Yes, we are saved by the grace. Yes, we are forgiven. There is mercy. In Christ, we are justified. Okay? We have all of those promises that we have in Christ. But that does not excuse us from being holy. Because that's what 1 Peter talks to us about. Be holy as I am holy. Now, if God is telling you that be holy, that means we are able to be holy. Because God never asks us to do anything that we are not able to do. If we are not able to be holy, if we are not able to live a certain lifestyle, He would not expect us to do that. He would not expect us to do that. That's why He came and He sacrificed Himself, because He knew that we cannot have a redemption from sin by works. So if He says be holy, you are able to be holy. If you are not being holy, that means we are just using grace as an excuse. That's all that means. Now, I'm not talking about legalism here, right? It's a constant race until the day we are in our glorified body. We are constantly going to fall short, but that doesn't mean we don't try, right? He is with us. Holy Spirit is with us, equipping us to walk in this way. So Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11 says this: "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh then atonement for the soul." So the way to God is sacrifice. By the way, the word atonement simply means covering up. It does not free us, right? That's why you need to read Romans chapter 3, verse 25, which we will cover in another Bible study, right? Until Jesus came, there was no redemption from the sin. It was just covering. Think about as a your salvation was on a layaway plan, that you were atonement. All the sacrifices was just covering up until Jesus's perfect sacrifice on the cross, right? Cover up. The blood of bulls and goats did not actually take away the sin. It could not. There is only one blood that can take away this sin, and that is the Christ, the Messiah, right? Whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. That's Romans chapter 3, verse 25. To declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, meaning the Old Testament saints, those who came before the cross, through the forbearance of God. So they are saved in the same manner that we are saved. The second message that we have in the book of Leviticus, it teaches us the walk with God is by sanctification or holiness. And for that, I'm just going to give you one verse, which is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 25 and 26. It says, "Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place, every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the ages, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Those redeemed by the blood of Christ must live a holy life if they are to enjoy the worship of God. There is no other way. There is no other way. Okay? The way to God is through the sacrifice. Okay? So, this book is a remarkable book. Let me show you how this connects with the New Testament, okay? The five offerings that we are going to learn in the first seven chapters, okay? The five offerings which open up the book are a clear image of Jesus Christ. They show us the depth of Christ and the death of Jesus Christ in detail. That's what the first five sacrifices, all the sacrifices that you have learned about, burnt sacrifice and all of the things that we are going to look at in the first seven chapter. Okay, the consecration of the priest shows us how inadequate, right? How imperfect we are as men to approach God. That's what it shows us, especially in our Christian church, right? In Christian church. One of the things we are going to look at when we go into chapter 8 to 11, which is about the priesthood and what they had to do before they approach God, right, is how many things they had to go through, how they had to be cleansing themselves, right? And I am as guilty of anybody in sitting here or listening to me. How many of us, when we are sitting in the church, are looking at our phone? How many of us are doing that? How many of us are checking sports scores while we are in the church, or having a text conversation with somebody while we are listening to a message, or we are in the church? When we get to those 8 to 11 chapters, and when we look at the priesthood, what they had to go through just to be in the presence of God, now we are able to go boldly to the throne of grace. We are allowed to go into we go into the church and we worship freely. But do we understand who we are approaching? Right? And so that consecration of the priest reveals to us how shallow we are, especially in our Christian walk, okay, in our Christian in life and in the church. The diet God provided for his people, right, was very important. Okay? It was very important. It was sanitary, right? It kept them healthy. I have shared this with you guys before. When there was a Black Death in Europe, okay, when there were people dying left and right, the Jewish community was not affected as badly as the others because of the dietary law in the book of Leviticus. And now today, when we look at the science, right, a lot of the things that we see in the book of Leviticus, you know, applies. How we are to have a proper hygiene and so forth, right? So that's something that we learn in chapter 11 in the book of Leviticus, okay? And then the attention given to motherhood is a further example of God's thinking concerning womanhood, which will be chapter 12. That will be chapter 12. We're going to see what the place of a woman and how detailed God has given to us what his thoughts on motherhood is, okay, what influence a mother has. Then when we get further into the book, chapter 13 to chapter 15 or so, it talks to us about leprosy, okay? And that is the heart of the book of Leviticus, okay? That is the heart. The leprosy part is the heart of the book of Leviticus. When we really learn those chapters, you are going to see how relevant this book is to our spiritual life today. Because leprosy represents what? Sin. It's sin. It's a sin that we are dealing with here, right? The cleansing of the leper finds its fulfillment in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we will see this, and I'll give you a very simple illustration, and I'm sure I will repeat it as we go through the book of Leviticus, right? What was the requirement for a leper to do? Leper was supposed to be outside of the camp, And then the priest was going to go and examine him and see if he's been healed or not. How was priest supposed to know if the leper is healed? He's not a physician. There was no cure for, there is no cure for leprosy, right? How was the priest supposed to examine and see if he's well or not? So that's something we're going to learn. And what the scripture, there's a wonderful message when we get to Leviticus chapter 14. When we talk about the great day of atonement, which is chapter 16, it's all about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ, okay? The importance of the burnt altar in the tabernacle, the altar itself, okay? It highlights to us the essential characteristic of the cross of Christ. That's going to be chapter 17, okay? Then when we get into chapter 18 to 28, it talks to us about all these minute details in our life. And that shows how much God cares. And we're going to see how that applies to our life. Because God is interested in the smallest details of your life. That's what it goes to show. It's not like, okay, you do not find this kind of teaching in any other religious book or any other religion where God is interested in your life, what you eat and how you do things, and all of it to make you better, right? To set you apart. Then in chapter 3, what we are going to see is the list of feasts. We see throughout the Old Testament, but what it talks to us about is God's program for the redemption, God's program for the nation of Israel. And then the last three chapters, it talks to us about the governing of the land, what the fight is all about right now in the Middle East, right? It's in the news ever since we have been growing up. It's just picking up. It talks to us the governing of the land of Palestine what the nation of Israel and the promised land, how they are all connected together. Those are the last three chapters. Okay, so that's how the book of Leviticus is going to break up. And as we looked at Exodus, okay, just to give you a comparison here. Somebody has put this together. I did not, but it's a wonderful comparison that we have here. Exodus offers pardon or redemption. Leviticus offers purity. Okay, Exodus is God's approach to man. It was God who approached man on the Mount Sinai. He called them, right? I'm going to cover you, and I'm going to carry you on my wings like the eagle carries. All right. Here in Leviticus is how man approaches God, how we are to be holy, how we approach God. In Exodus, Christ is the redeemer. Christ is the savior. Here in Leviticus, Christ is a sanctifier. He sanctifies us. In Exodus, man's guilt is there. There is nothing you can do about it. Okay. In Leviticus, it speaks to us about man's defilement. How we as men in flesh, we are defiled. In Exodus, God speaks out of the mound. Now in Leviticus, God speaks out the tabernacle. So now we are talking about closeness, right? And that's what Exodus is. Exodus is man goes to God. Man draws close to God. Here, God is drawing closer to man. Okay, when we going to learn about the burnt offering, that speaks to us about, and that is the most important sacrifice perhaps. A burnt offering speaks to us about Christ as our substitutionary atonement. He hung on the cross for me and you. That's the burnt offering. When you look at meal offering, that shows us the beauty of Christ, which will be in Leviticus chapter 2. When we look at peace offering, who is our peace? Right? Romans chapter 5 says to us, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. He is the peace offering. So that speaks to us about Christ as our peace. When we look at the other offering, the sin offering, it talks to us about the sin as our nature. That's who we are. We are fleshly human beings. That's Leviticus chapter 4. And then when we look at trespass offering, that is sin as an act. And then the last chapter 6 and 7, we are going to give law of offering. And I'm not going to give you the whole outline today. So at least you'll be excited for something, you know. And if you haven't fallen asleep yet, that tabernacle was very important. Important, right? We learn about that in the book of Exodus. It says a tabernacle itself, that whole structure that we studied, right? The outer court, then you have the holy place, and then you have a holy of holy place. That whole structure speaks of or declares the holiness of God. Speaks to us about the holiness of God. The fence around the tent, right? That speaks the altar, the brazen altar that we talked about, when we look at the blood shed over the lever, there was a sink there where the priest washed their hands, right? Their feet. The whole thing speaks to us about the holiness, especially the part where the high priest on the Day of Atonement was able to go into the Holy of Holies. Right? He was able to go into the Holy of Holies. The whole sacrificial system pointed Israel and points us as well that what is the wages of sin? It is death. It is death, right? And as we started out the Bible study, and as I spoke to you, there is no way to have a redemption from sin without the sacrifice, right? And so that book of Leviticus talks to us about that perfect sacrifice. That is to come. All it is doing, the book of Leviticus, all it is doing is pointing us to Jesus. It's all it is doing. Because when we went through the book of Hebrews, right? What does the book of Hebrews says? That a high priest is Jesus Christ. Every single law that is in the Old Testament was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. That's why Hebrews chapter 12 verse 14 says this, okay? It says, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Without which no one will see the Lord. I'm going to read that verse again, and I want you to pay attention to it. It says, pursue peace with all people. That does not mean we are to compromise with all people. That doesn't mean we have to accept all people the way they are. Yes, Christ accepts us the way we are. Yes, but then once we come to Christ, we are expected to change, and we are expected to go through the process of sanctification. Okay, God, there is nothing that you have to do to come to God. Come as you are. The blood of Christ is able to cleanse any sin. Amen. You just need to come to Christ, right? So it's not about making a compromise. It's not about we are going to allow certain sin in somebody's life. No, we love them as they are. Christ loves them the way they are. But when you come to Christ, it says, pursue peace with all people. And then we are to pursue holiness. And today, I really want to impress this upon your hearts today. How are you pursuing holiness? I think there is a reason why we are in the book of Leviticus. I believe that we are in the book of Leviticus. Maybe God wants me to be here in the book of Leviticus because we need to take this issue, right, of holiness very seriously. I think we take these things very lightly. And I think that's something that Paul was addressing when we read Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 6. That should I continue to sin so the grace would abound? Because remember what the thinking was, that if I sin more, then God has to give me more grace, and that glorifies him even more. So should I continue to sin? No. We are to be the living sacrifice. The grace is not there so we can continue to sin. And that's why it says, pursue peace with all people and holiness. And then it says, without which. Not the. And I think that last part where it says, without which no one will see the Lord, it only applies to the holiness. That without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, this is not speaking about a conditional salvation. This is not saying that somehow, if you have not pursued holiness, you are not saved and you are not going to see the Lord. You are not going to be resurrected. That's not what it is saying. But it is only when we walk in holiness, when we understand the book of Leviticus, when we understand how serious it is to approach God, when we understand how we are to approach God, okay? When we take these things seriously, then you will see the hand of God in your life. Then you are going to see how God moves in your life. Then you are going to see how God uses you for His glory, right? When we pursue holiness, then God has promised us, right? You draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you, right? Zechariah chapter 1, it says, you return to me and I will return to you. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says what? When my people turn, right, that I will bless their land. Right, so that holiness is our effort, a daily effort, constant effort to turn to God. Right, turn to God, understanding that we are fallen men, we are sinful men, we are fleshly men, and we need the grace of God constantly to pursue that holiness. Right, that's why over eight times in the scripture, God speaks to us about be holy, live a holy life. Okay, one of the names as we went through the book of Isaiah, one of the names that we have for our Savior is what? A holy one. Holy one. That is not a name that is used for any other God. No God, no other religion uses their God and says He's holy one, right? Our God is called a holy one. He is holy. And he says, because he is holy, we are to be holy. We are to be holy. Okay? And as we go through this book, hopefully we will have a better idea what changes we need to make in our life. Okay? I was planning to do a couple of verses, but I'm looking at the clock and I'm going to end this Bible study a little early today with this Bible verse, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Look what it says over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. It says over there, Paul tells us over there, it says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Our salvation is free, but the process of sanctification, pursuing holiness, is in our hand. There is work that needs to be done on our part. Right, that needs to be done. And as we go through this, you know, when we open this up, and I wish we were opened up a chapter a little bit, okay? But when you read this book carefully, and about a year ago, I was going through the book of Leviticus, and as I was reading this book, and the very first sacrifice that we are going to see, which all of you are aware of, that if you are, if you are going to sacrifice, you are going to bring a what? A bull, all right? An ox, or a sheep, or whatever you are to bring. And what your understanding is that they would be killed, right? They would be sacrificed. You lay a hand and then it's sacrificed, okay? Your little homework for you guys. Go and read what it means, what it actually says. Because it wasn't until a year ago when I was reading this that I understood what it means. What that literally means and how it relates to Jesus. Okay, just read it. Just read chapter 1 and see what it means when a person brings a sacrifice. what transpired when they brought the sacrifice. It's very important for us to remember. Okay. So as we end this Bible study, I want to ask for your prayer. This is not an easy book for us to go through. This is not an easy book. I am even after doing this introduction, okay, which I think I did a very lousy job of introducing this book. But even now, I am very hesitant. I don't know what is going to transpire through this study. Since it is a difficult book and things that it deals with, you guys need to keep me in prayer. But I do think, and part of me, as our human nature is, it's easy to pick another book that perhaps I have taught before, a book that maybe we are all a little bit more familiar with, right? But God asks us to do difficult things, and then He equips us to do it, right? So I am trusting God. Not that I didn't trust God before this, because as I said in our opening, I am not capable of doing these Bible studies. So I completely understand how reliant I am on God and the Holy Spirit to lead us through these Bible studies, okay? And trust me, as we have gone through these 10 years of Bible study, there are times when I have had a thought that, okay, maybe I should get some formal education. Maybe I should study up, enroll into some courses, educate yourself and whatnot. And the answer from God was very clear to me, no, right? Because as He said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You do what I'm asking you to do, what you need to do. When you sit down, I will let you do it. And so far, right, my God has not let me down, right? And I hope you have seen that. That from my side, I prepared the best I could and let Holy Spirit do what it needs to do.
So it be.
That this is, and by no means that this is a perfect Bible study. And I'm sure there are things that I leave out all the time. There are things that maybe God shows you that I don't even mention. But we are going to do this in the strength of God by the power. Right. And that is very important for us to see that in the Leviticus, as Paul says in the Corinthians, the message of the cross, right, is a foolishness to those who are perishing. For us who are being saved, it's the power of God, and it is on that power that we study the word, and the Holy Spirit will speak to us through His word in the book of Leviticus. So Father, we come to you, Lord, and we just thank you and praise you, Lord. You know, Lord, as I sat down here, Lord, what my mindset was, Lord. You know that how difficult the day was just coming here and all of it, Lord. And Lord, despite my shortcoming, I hope that you have spoken, Lord. And I pray that you have spoken to your people, Lord. I hope I have not put them to sleep, Lord. Even if I have put them to sleep, Lord, I pray that you bring things to their remembrance, Lord. And as we go through this this book, Lord, that as we started out the scripture by saying all scripture is God-inspired, Lord. So show us, Lord, how this word is profitable to us. So we submit the rest of the Levitical Bible study into your hand. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen.